The Insurance and Banking Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley.
Here.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite.
Here.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown, Driscoll, Fabricio.
Here.
Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Hans Schofsky.
Here.
Oster.
Here.
Maggart.
Here.
Rayner.
Here. I'm here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Tant.
I'm here.
Toledo.
Here.
Zika.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Before we begin, just a reminder to please silence your electronic devices. Welcome back, members, and good morning. Happy Groundhog's Day. It's 2222. I don't know what that means, but it sounds fun to say anyway. It is. So welcome back. We have five bills on our agenda today, so we will get right to it. First up, we will take up House Bill 785, Two-Way Radio Communication Enhancement Systems, by Representative Botana. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up the amendment. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair and Ranking Member, for having me here this morning on this bill. Bill 785, last session, the legislature extended the deadline for compliance of high-rise buildings to meet minimal radio single strength. This bill further clarifies the requirement related to minimal radio single strength for fire safety equipment. The language in this bill passed all its House committees last year. First, the legislature will allow two-way radio communication systems or equivalent systems to be used to comply with minimum radio single strength requirements as an alternative to costly building retrofits. Secondly, this legislation will clarify in statute that apartment buildings less than 75 feet are not high-rises buildings and as such not required to comply with radio systems requirements in statute. In last year's bill, all buildings less than 75 feet were excluded. And after stakeholder meetings, public testimony, the bill is tightening up the language on apartment buildings only. Apartment buildings are not constructed in the same manner as other commercial or industrial facilities and do not have the same radio sync system. That is the bill, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, you are recognized to explain amendment number one.
Thank you. The amendment further limits the exemption of this bill to only those structures that are wood frame. The amendment also places the burden of proof of wood construction type on the property owner.
Okay, members, any questions on amendment number one? Any questions on amendment number one? Seeing none, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Any debate on amendment number one? Seeing none, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave.
Okay, having waived close, any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. So members, are there any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Any debate on the bill? Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative, thanks for working on this bill again. Obviously, quite a few concerns last year, and you've recognized those. You've recognized them as much from folks that talk about two-way communications or talk about the policy, but you've included people that actually work on it, myself or others, and you've come a long way. There's still, a few concerns and things we could still change in the bill. I've met with some of the stakeholders that you're dealing with, and I appreciate you being so willingness and open to make changes in this, because at the end of the day, this is only about the safety of our first responders. As I've said before, one of the largest issues and problems that we have on any emergency scene is communication. And so if this is the only lifeblood to keeping them safe, then we need to make sure we do everything we can to get it right the first time. So thank you for working on this, and I look forward to continue working before its next stop, hitting the floor and even making it a better bill. So thank you very much for your hard work on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, members, we're going to back up to public testimony. We had several appearance cards, so we're going to back up. So we're now in public testimony. John Pasqualoni, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors Association. Good morning, sir. You are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is an issue that we've been working on for a couple years now, and we appreciate the work that Rep. Batana has put into this. We don't think we're there yet. We don't like the 75 feet. That's an issue for us. But I think with the amendment, with the wood frame, I think it gets us closer. Rep. Wilhite is very well aware that the construction type is very much an issue when we're looking at radio signal communications. So if we have glass, we have concrete, we have steel, we have issues penetrating through those types of construction to be able to communicate to our folks. So we appreciate the work. We're hopeful that we can continue to work on paring down the height and some other considerations. We did take very seriously the testimonies from both chambers and from all of the stakeholders last year, and we worked on it all through the summer, and we're hopeful that we can get this thing across the finish line by next committee stop. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Richard Pinsky, Emergency Communications Industry of Florida. Good morning, sir. You are recognized.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, and thank you to Representative Botana, who has had an open door, very open to all the discussions and the issues surrounding this very important issue before all Florida residents. We agree with the Florida fire chiefs that the building height is an issue. I'm not sure if wood gets us there. If you're in a 4 or 5-story building, if you're a firefighter or a law enforcement officer, if the building is burning or you're in an active shooter situation, I don't know if you care if the building's made out of wood, glass, concrete, or metal. You need to be able to communicate. So I think the issue, we'd like to see the issue come down on signal strength. If the building, no matter what the height, if you want to exempt below 75, if it passes the signal strength, they don't have to put a system in. So appreciate Representative Wilhite's work, ranking member, Representative Botana's help, and I'm sure we're going to get there. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we've got Rob Olson, fire.
Unfortunately, he's down in the Senate, but hearing the same bill, and he's down there at the same time.
Okay, he is an opponent of the bill. Will Rogers, American Fire Wire, Inc.
Same story.
He is info only. Okay, that concludes public testimony. So, members, we're now in debate. Representative Wilhite, ranking member, if you want to celebrate Groundhog's Day and say that over again, you're more than welcome. Otherwise, members, any further debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Botana, you recognize the closer on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I want to say working with Rep. Wilhite, we'll keep working, and I want to thank your staff for doing a great job. They've done a lot on this. That I close.
Okay, Representative Botana, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedehoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown? Driscoll? Fabricio?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hans Schofsky?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant? Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
Hey, members, thank you. By your vote, House Bill 785 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Well done. Okay, members, we will now take up House Bill 1141, bail bond agents, by Representative Plakin. You are recognized to explain your bill before we take up the amendment.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and thank you for including this on your agenda today. House Bill 1141 represents the Florida Bail Agents 2022 legislative package. The bill replaces and improves temporary bail agent licensure by allowing initial full licensure, but requires that a person to be fully licensed for 2 years before that person can become a primary bail agent. It ensures that continuing education is taught by a qualified instructor, both personally or virtually, creates an elevated criminal charge for battery on a bail agent during the apprehension of a fugitive. It also provides remission of a bond to the bail agent if the defendant dies after payment of the bond or if the state chooses not to extradite. That's the bill.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Plakin, you're recognized to explain amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is the result of collaboration between bail agents and the Department of Financial Services, Division of Insurance Agent and Agency Services, which I'll refer to as DFS. Cleans up language to conform with how DFS currently records bail bond licenses. It gives DFS discretion to disclose certain information relating to licensure investigations. It also provides a more refined definition regarding virtual classroom instructed continuing education, and it removes an appointment requirement for the primary agent. That's the amendment.
Okay, thank you for that. Members, any questions on amendment number one? Any questions on amendment number one? Okay, seeing none, no public testimony. Members, any debate? Any debate on amendment number one? Okay, Representative Plakin, you recognize to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Okay, thank you. Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Members, we are now on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, public testimony. Sean Foster, Florida Bail Agents Association. Waiving its support. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Representative Plakin, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's been good working with the bail agents on this. And one of the things that I think is notable, we've seen other industries come up and try to put up restrictions or barriers to entry their profession. And this is something different than that. In essence, they're just refining it and in some ways inviting more to become bail agents because of the need in our state. So I want to commend them for that because that's notable to some of the stuff we see in other industries trying to put up barriers to keep control of their industry. So I just want to mention that as I close, and with that I will close.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Representative Plakin, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedehoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Brown? Driscoll? Fabricio?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Ponczowski?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant? Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Thank you, members, by your vote. House Bill 1141 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Okay, members, we will now take up House Bill 625, Estates and Trusts, by Representative Altman. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 625 addresses two areas of technical clarification in the Florida Probate Code and the Florida Trust Code related to independent actions and trustee resignation. The bill amends Chapter 733.705, codifying the existing procedure by which a creditor's pending action against a decedent at the time of death is deemed to be active and doesn't have to be refiled. Secondly, it clarifies that a trust instrument can make it easier for a trustee to resign under Florida Chapter 736.0705 by allowing a shorter notice period to beneficiaries. And that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, any public testimony? Martha Edenfield, Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. Waiving in support, thank you. Okay, that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate? Any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Okay. Representative Altman, you recognize to close on your bill.
Waive close.
Having waived closed, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown? Driscoll? Fabricio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hanshofsky?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith? Snyder?
Yes.
Tant? Toledo? Zika?
Yes. The bill passes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, House Bill 625 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Thank you
so much.
Okay, members, we will now take up House Bill 837, Hurricane Loss Mitigation Program, by Representative Wilhite. Representative Wilhite, you're recognized to explain your bill before we take up the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. This bill is the request is for the extension of the Hurricane Loss Mitigation Program, which is due to expire in June of this year. This program is still vastly needed. The real purpose of this bill is to provide safety for the people that live in what we still call affordable housing. Members, we know that our mobile homes are affordable housing in the state nowadays, and we need to do everything we can to protect them and keep people in those. And this program, as I'm sure you know, is already in place for mobile homes that are in new codes and standards, but this is the backlog, the ones that aren't done yet. And so extending this program another 10 years would be beneficial, again, to protecting our affordable housing in the state of Florida. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, members. Any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, Representative Wilhite, you're recognized to explain amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This strike all is, it changes a few things in there. We are changing that in the $3 million that it wouldn't just be used for retrofitting existing hurricane shelters. It could be for construction. It also changes the date of this. As I said, it will be extended for 10 more years so we can get rid of this backlog. It still takes the money out of the CAT fund. It does not come from general revenue. It also will still be overseen by the Department of Emergency Management, and we are changing it from one college and testing facility to another in the state. And I believe that is all the substantive changes for the dry call, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you for that. Members, any questions on amendment number one? Any questions on amendment number one? We have public testimony. Ed Chase, Palm Beach County. Waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Nancy Stewart, Federation of Manufactured Home Ownership, Florida, FMO. Good morning. You are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Nancy Stewart. I represent the Federation of Manufactured Homeowners of Florida, your constituents who live in mobile home parks and communities throughout the state. And on their behalf, thank you very much for your consideration today. This program is very important to many people, tens of thousands of your constituents, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here this morning. Okay, members, that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, Representative Wilhite, you recognize the close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, that you know, when we're talking about affordable housing in this state a lot and options and things we can do, this is a simple, easy thing. There's 157 parks totaling 46,099 homes still in a backlog that need to be done. This program needs to be extended because it's the easiest thing we can do right now of a fund that's already identified in the CAT fund to help our affordable housing. And with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Any objections to the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Public testimony on the bill? Members, any debate? Any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Wilhite, you recognize close on the bill.
I just ask for your favorable support and waive close.
Okay, Representative Wilhite, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hans Schofsky?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant? Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Okay, thank you, members. By your vote, House Bill 837 will be reported favorably. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, colleagues.
Okay, members, moving right along. We will now take up House Bill 1307, Citizens Property Insurance Corporation, by Representative Gregory. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up the amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I just want to say up front, please forgive me for a little personal indulgence. I know she's not watching, and she's probably not going to watch a recording of it, but I want to give a shout-out to my mom. It's her birthday, so I say happy birthday to my mom. And the reason I'm doing so is, honestly, my mom inspires me to run bills like this, and in particular this bill. From years ago, my affinity for an interest in public policy comes from my mom always asking tough questions when she would hear things in the news, questions like, why would all Floridians subsidize some Floridians who want to live in a high flood area or a higher risk area? Why would Florida or any state prefer government-run insurance versus the private insurance market? Why, if we're going to have a quasi-governmental entity known as Florida Citizens, would we allow Florida Citizens to provide insurance for people that are not Floridians? So all those questions, why, are what motivated me to file this bill and work in this space. I started knowing the answers to exactly none of those questions. And for those of you that are working in this space, I appreciate, you know, your efforts and your knowledge. Many of you, or maybe all of you, are more experienced and knowledgeable in this area than I am. But I will tell you that the answers to those questions really started with 2004 to 2005 timeframe. And, you know, probably everybody here remembers we had 8 major hurricane storms during that time frame and caused a near collapse of the insurance industry and market in Florida. So the legislature took a pretty drastic step to create this quasi-governmental entity. And frankly, right now, they're too large. The goal of this bill is to try to depopulate Citizens in appropriate, measured ways. 5 years ago, we were at 500,000 policies. Now we're over 700,000 policies. It does it in a variety of ways, as you can see through the bill. And I'll answer any questions on any of them, but it would take too long to go through all of them. And I know we have 3 amendments to cover. That is the rationale for the bill and what we're trying to do.
Members, any question on the bill before we get to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, you are recognized to explain amendment number 1.
Thank you, Chair. Members, as you know from looking at this bill, it is a complex area, so there's 3 amendments. This first amendment, barcode 589563, phases in the change to eligibility for renewal. So instead of jumping immediately to the 20% difference, it phases it in 5% a year, 5% the first year, 10, 15, 20. It's a more digestible number for policyholders, and I think it accomplishes the needs and the desires of the bill without being too drastic a change. That is the amendment.
Okay, members, any questions on amendment number 1? Any questions on amendment number 1? Seeing none, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate on amendment number 1? Seeing none, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on amendment number 1.
Waive close.
Okay, thank you. Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show amendment 1 adopted. Okay, members, we are now going to go to amendment number 3. Staff is working on a technical change on amendment number 2. So you are recognized to explain amendment number 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 3, members, barcode 989177, again, phases in eligibility to remain with Citizens upon a takeout offer by again, 5% a year until it reaches 20%. In other words, if another insurer offers to provide insurance within 20%, that's That's what we're amending with this rule, and it's consistent with what I explained earlier in the bill. It also provides changes to the clearinghouse to ensure that applicants who receive an offer of coverage of renewal must reapply through the clearinghouse to ensure they've exhausted all options in the private market before they come back to Citizens. That is the amendment.
Okay, thank you, members. Any questions on amendment number three? Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think this question somewhat relates to the last one, and I could have asked you in the last one, because you put a 20% cap in there. So any resident of Florida that has insurance that is in Citizens that could get something that is 19%, they could still have to pay up to 19% more just to try and get them out of Citizens if another insurer offers them that insurance?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The answer in terms of a percentage is yes. And remember, the goal is to get them where they're paying the appropriate amount of insurance for the property that they are insuring, an actuarially sound rate.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Follow up.
Thank you. I guess what concerns me then is, you know, you brought it up much like your mom. My mom is in Citizens right now because she didn't have insurance and it was the catch-all. And nobody else wanted to write her. So just like you, I'm in the same position about why someone's there. But I just don't know. So I guess it's concerning to me, you're saying that if someone were to offer me insurance that's 19% more that I could save a Floridian right now and get them insurance, the goal is just to get them out of an insurance company that was the catch-all and they had to go to, but we're still going to tell Floridians they're going to have to pay 19% more just to get it from another company than the one that we could offer and save them money on?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what the message to Floridians is the government is not here to subsidize your insurance. I mean, if we wanted to subsidize everybody's insurance, we certainly could do so. We could drive everybody's insurance rate down by 19%. Of course, we'd have to apply a tax to all Floridians to come up with that 19%. So, no, the message isn't that we're not concerned with your rate that you're covering. In fact, the legislature's running all kinds of bills this year to try to help the insurance market, to try to help Floridians save cost in insurance. So, no, the goal is not to increase their cost. The goal is to bring more people in Florida out of government-subsidized insurance and into the private insurance market.
Okay. Members, any other questions on amendment number three? Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate on amendment number three? Any debate? Seeing none, you recognize, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on amendment number three.
Wave close.
Okay, having waved closed, any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show amendment three adopted. Okay, members, while we're waiting for amendment number two, we're going to go ahead and take an informal recess. I appreciate your patience here. We want to make sure that we get this right. So thank you. Okay, members, please go ahead and take your seat. We're going to call this meeting back to order. We're going to call the roll. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Here.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Here.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Fabricio?
Here.
Jill Lombardo?
Here.
Haig?
Here.
Hans Schofsky?
Here.
Koster?
Here.
Maggard?
Here.
Rayner?
Here.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Here. Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
I'm here.
Quorum's present.
Okay, thank you. Okay, members, without objection, show amendment number two withdrawn. Okay, so now, members, I'm going to recognize Representative Gregory to explain amendment number four.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, amendment number four does what amendment two was designed to do. We're trying to strike through some language and drafting error. We didn't do that correctly. We just removed it. You can see that in amendment two. So obviously, we're trying to strike through that language to accomplish the goal of the of that amendment. So this amendment's goal is to repeal a requirement that Citizens price for reinsurance cost to cover its projected 100-year probable maximum loss and its rate calculations, even if they do not purchase reinsurance. It's simply removing that requirement. You can tell from, or maybe you can tell from the handwriting that I didn't write it, but I certainly approved it, and it gives me an opportunity to thank staff and everybody else who's done so much to help on this bill. So that is the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on amendment number four? Any questions on amendment number four? Seeing none, any public testimony? Okay, we've got Christine Ashburn, Citizens Property Insurance Corporation. Good morning. You are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman DeSigley, and thank you, Representative Gregory, for this good bill. We do rise in opposition to this particular amendment. This language was added to Citizens Statute in Senate Bill 76 last year. Citizens is required to make every reasonable effort to purchase reinsurance to the 1 in 100-year PML, and in many years, there are reasons that that is not a prudent thing to do for the market or for Citizens financially. Right now, Citizens spends about 23 cents on the dollar for reinsurance, including the CAT fund, whereas the private market spends about 40 to 50 cents on the dollar. That makes us naturally competitive. This provision in current law allows us to ensure we're not as competitive, but remember the rate cap still is in effect to protect consumers. We've talked to Representative Gregory about this, and I look forward to working with him and hope to see this language reinserted at a later stop. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Okay, that concludes public testimony on amendment number four. Members, any debate on amendment number four? Any debate on amendment number four? Seeing none, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on amendment number four.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to comment that we have been working closely with Citizens and the other stakeholders, and we'll continue that conversation on this amendment and the rest of the bill. They've been very helpful to date, and this was a late amendment, and we'll continue to work it with them, and I hope that you support it today.
Okay, thank you. Are there objections to the amendment? Okay, without objection, show amendment four adopted. Okay, members, now we are in questions on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony? Stephen Geller, Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters. Good morning, sir. You're recognized.
Good morning.
You look familiar.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. By the way, did I see you limping in?
No, that was that okay. Was Ned.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's fine. I tend to limp too, so it's
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There should be a box or that you have to be for or against, and we really have no objection to most of the bill. We have a concern about one provision, but we're not opposing the bill, so I said we're for. We like some parts of the bill, for example, the beginning requiring OIR to approve the Citizens' method of valuing evaluations. On a lot of other positions, FAPIA, Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters, has no position. We do have one concern, at which we will work with Representative Gregory on, which is a surplus lines takeout language that begins on line 1305 of the bill. During the 20 years I served in the House and Senate, including 17 on the insurance committees, back when dinosaurs were roaming the earth, surplus lines were normally treated the way that they're supposed to be treated, that they are for unusual risks. They are for sophisticated commercial transactions. The famous, you would insure the actress's voice or the quarterback's arm or something of that nature. This bill would permit residential homeowners to be placed in surplus lines policies through the takeout provision. And Representative Gregory did a very good job on dealing with the solvency. We have no concerns with the solvency the way that it's done. But it's important to remember that surplus lines policies are not regulated by OIR. They do not enjoy the normal protections of an admitted carrier that are available under Florida Statute 626. Just a couple of examples. a surplus lines policy can require you to, you know, file suit in New York or California, or they wouldn't do it in California, Texas. They can require you to be deposed in other states. They don't have the valued policy limits. There's a lot of protections that all admitted carriers have in the state that surplus lines carriers don't. And we are very concerned that we are seeing more and more people turning, including this bill, to surplus lines as an alternative to an admitted carrier, and they should not be treated that way. So I will add that one of the Senate companions, there's two compare bills, Senate Bill 1728 by Insurance Committee Chair Boyd, had this exact language in it, and it's up right now, or same time slot as this at least, and Chairman Boyd filed an amendment to remove the language dealing with the takeout by surplus lines. That is the only part of the bill that we express any concern about, and we will work with Representative Gregory on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for being here, Mr. Geller. Carolyn Johnson, Florida Chamber of Commerce. Waiving in support, thank you. Christine Ashburn, Citizens Property Insurance Corporation. Waiving in support, thank you. Laura Pierce, Florida Association of Insurance Agents. Waiving in support, thank you. Okay, members, that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Representative Fabrizio, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Gregory, for bringing this good bill. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we have an issue in Florida with regards to premiums, and I think that the insurance market in Florida will ultimately be resolved when we start looking towards private capital and we start bringing in more insurance carriers into the state of Florida. One of the issues that I've had and one of the concerns that I've had and something that we've been looking into is why is it that we have so few admitted carriers in Florida. Like Senator Geller mentioned that he likes the admitted carriers. Heck, I like the admitted carriers too, but we don't have a stream of them coming into the state of Florida. As a matter of fact, we see them more leaving the state of Florida. And with the rise of Citizens Property Insurance, as you mentioned earlier in your opening, we saw more and more admitted carriers leave the state. The market is not conducive in Florida, unfortunately, to attract insurance carriers. In order to stabilize rates, we need to be able to attract carriers and private capital to the state of Florida. And I think this bill goes towards that. I like the fact that we are looking at allowing surplus lines carriers to do takeouts. I think that moves us in that direction. I urge my colleagues to vote this bill up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this bill. Thank you for the time that we worked together on this with citizens. And just to kind of give everybody a little context, when I worked a little bit with Representative Gregory on this bill, and we started off to asking them for numbers of how many people that don't even live in the country that are subsidized by citizens, how many people that are not homesteaded that's subsidized by citizens. And as we've heard before, citizens is almost, or if not, they're at about 1 million policies right now. We are the reinsurers, and that could be extremely dangerous if something happens. We have to allow the private market, surplus lines is included, to be able to be competitive. And I think that this bill does it, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the evolution of the bill, but I urge everybody to vote up on it. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Maggard, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Gregory, thank you so much for taking this stance and asking the hard questions. This is one of those issues that are important for Florida and important for this House and for this government. I agree with you. We don't need to be subsidizing insurance. We need to bring private carriers back into this place. And thank you so much for bringing this up, and I wholly support this. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Smith, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And Rep, thank you for your leadership on this bill. And I know as we talked even over the summer that we had to do something, whether it's you know, we've got a homeowner's insurance crisis, and everybody who's a homeowner and on this dais now that's opened that renewal notice saw things go up. So we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of this thing overnight. Where we've talked in the past about, you know, we all have heard the adage about death by a thousand cuts. I think in Florida, in our homeowners insurance market in particular, we're going to heal by a thousand Band-Aids. And your bill goes towards that, of taking on the complex issues of homeowners insurance and property casualty insurance. But for every single issue, there's somebody on both sides of it. And you've your leadership, your willingness to work with people is has been great through this. I've enjoyed our conversation. How do we make things just a little bit better for homeowners in Florida? And I'm sure through the Senate version and the House version as they move, that we're going to strike a balance to put homeowners insurance customers, those Floridians, first, and look forward to voting up on this bill today. Thank you.
Okay, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, just like Senator Geller, I don't know if I'm for or against this bill because, listen, I'm a fiscally conservative Democrat, right? I don't want to subsidize everybody. I want people to stand on their own legs. But, you know, whether they live in this country, whether they're homestead in this country, they still pay taxes, or in the state, they still pay taxes in this state. They still own something and bring value to the state. And so, you know, if we're not going to offer people other options other than the only thing they can get into as citizens, and just because we force them to pay 19% is no guarantee that they're going to, that we're going to bring other carriers into this state. There's no guarantee we can force other carriers to come to the state to write policies. And if we can't do that, we had to do something to protect the mortgage industry, to ensure home ownership, to drive people doing to what I believe is the cornerstone of a family, which is to get in a home and start somewhere and build from that. But, you know, members, we're all right. There is a housing problem, but there's an insurance housing problem in this state, and we have to do something. I think your intentions are absolutely on point. I think you're doing it for the right reason. I just don't know that telling someone that you're going to have to pay more just so you go to the private market is going to help us do that. And so I know this is a yes or no bill, but I know that you're going to continue to work on this to make it better and more palatable, but I still just don't know that it fixes everything. And if government-funded insurance is the only way that we were going to start getting out of some of this, I don't know that we're to the point where the increase in the housing market cost and people trying to even get a mortgage or buy a house and then pay up to 20% more insurance is going to fix it at this point. We are on a huge incline. We're asking for people to come to the state. We're driving industry and business up in the state and doing great. I just don't know if this is where we're going to fix it. But again, I absolutely applaud your efforts and know that we as a legislature have got to do something more to try and help people get into homes and be able to afford it in this state if we want to keep perpetuating the state in the right direction. So, you know, please come up with something as well that we can somehow get other carriers here. And I don't know how that is because I guess we're such a risk. You know, I think like little things like the last bill that you worked on was still trying to have some affordable housing here, and that was a simple thing for us to move forward. So there are small things we can do to try and help people. And so given the choice, I'm obviously going to support you today just because I think your efforts and your intentions are good. But please, please, let's try and do more because we're hurting here. We're hurting here. And obviously, members, let's and you know, Representative, if you maybe, I don't know what conversations you've had, maybe talk to Senator Boyd, too, as well, and see, you know, as Senator Geller said, maybe there's some options there as well that we can come up with the best plan here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hunshofsky, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to kind of follow up on all the comments we're hearing. I have not met a single person serving in the Florida House that isn't fully consumed with how do we lower insurance rates and how do we make housing more affordable for our family members, our neighbors, and our communities, because we are in crisis right now in the state of Florida. It's great that everybody wants to come here, but we also want people to be able to afford to live here. And with insurance, as I've learned quickly since being elected, it's incredibly complicated. And I do believe that you are trying to work toward one piece of this complicated puzzle that ends up being in our homeowners insurance bills that we get every year. And I applaud you for the work you're doing. I, too, have some reservations, but I do trust that you will continue to work with all the stakeholders. And I do realize that this is only one piece of the homeowners insurance package and that there are other bills out there that are also working on different areas of this. And so I will be supporting this for today, but I just wanted to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any further debate? Any further debate? Representative Gregory, I want to thank you for bringing this good bill forward. You know, Citizens is the insurance carrier of last resort. And, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, by the middle of this year, we could, you know, be well past a million policyholders in Citizens and growing. And it's growing because we have an insurance property insurance market that's in trouble. Our constituents are making phone calls. They're sending emails to all of us. Many of us personally are getting these, you know, 20-30% increases. If we don't take action within Citizens to create, and this bill addresses that, a reasonable glide path to depopulate Citizens, if we have a catastrophic weather event, which we're in the state of Florida, we know that can happen, you know, all Floridians might be on the hook for that. And to me, that's irresponsible. It doesn't make that this bill and the decisions that we're making here easy, because it's not. There are no easy answers here, but action is required. And so I think that the provisions in this bill, the efforts in this bill to, you know, create a situation where, you know, folks, you know, are not going to be in a situation where, you know, they're on the hook for a catastrophic event. So it's going to take time. I applaud the efforts of this committee in the debate, and I applaud your efforts, Representative, bringing this bill forward. And knowing you, you know, for the last several years now, I know that you're going to continue working on this bill to get a good product to us on the House floor. So with that, I recognize you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the comments from you and everyone else on the committee and the questions and the thoughtful questions and thoughtful debate and input. It really is helpful from all of you. I think we all share the same goal here. Based on the comments, I think it's clear we all want to do what we can to improve our insurance market so that Floridians aren't facing, you know, these huge increases in their insurance bills every year. And, you know, while we talk about the percentage and a cap and we're going to glide path it, you know, 5% a year to get to 20%, the sad reality is that those Floridians that are not in Citizens, that are essentially subsidizing those that are, frankly, would be happy sometimes to get a bill that only increased by 20% or less. We've had some real problems in our insurance market, and it really does come down to an economic analysis, and that is, the more admitted carriers that we can attract to this market, the less subsidizing we're going to be doing. So we have to improve that competition. We have to make the regulatory guidance and burdens in Florida reduced. We have to reduce it. And we have to take steps like this to depopulate Citizens or face the potential risk that the chair pointed out. I will leave you with this one why question and ask for your favorable support. The why question being, why are 12,000 policyholders for Citizens Insurance out of the state of Florida on their mailing address? And why is Florida Citizens subsidizing those policyholders who are not even residents of the state of Florida? We'll talk about that more maybe next year. And I ask for your favorable support this year on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Having closed on his bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedehoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite?
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gier Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hanschofsky?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, House Bill 1307 will be reported favorably. Thank you. Congratulations. Okay, members, if there's no further business, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Representative Fabricio moves we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.